Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
Welcome to another edition of the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, Neil Stratton of Inside the League joins and we talk NFL draft, the wild card round of the NFL playoffs, and some NFL head coaching rumors and innuendo and John Gruden, the Bears, the Giants, etc. We'll get to all of that in just a minute with Neil Stratton. First, let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal Highway 6 West in Oxford. It's the place to go for whether you're looking for breakfast, for lunch, for dinner, for a snack. You want to grab an icy. You want to grab a coffee. Any of that at the Oxford Crystal, Highway 6 West in Oxford. They have the $2 meal deal right now. Two crystals and fries for $2. You can get the $3 meal, the $4 meal. And then, of course, the pick 5 for $5 now featuring the roasted chick sandwich. You're trying to cut back a little bit here at the holidays, New Year's resolution. You're trying to lose a little bit. You can still enjoy your crystal. You can just go from the fried chick to the roasted chick. Pick any of the five, the original crystal, the cheese crystal, the chick, the plain pup, the chili piece cheese pup, the corn pup, small fry, small drink, a 12-ounce icy, two cookies, apple turnover, sugar sundae, and a cone. Pick any five of those five for $5 at the Oxford Crystal. And, of course, for breakfast, you can get the three egg combos with the fresh cracked eggs, not that powdered stuff. It's all there at Oxford Crystal, Highway 6 West in Oxford, right next to the Oxford Exxon. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is the number. You call that number. You ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. There's no haggling. It's right to the bottom line. And then it's up to you. You're going to get your quote. You can shop it around if you like, or you can go ahead and let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other listeners of our family of podcasts, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. So easy. It's right to the bottom line, like I said. None of that typical stuff where you feel like you're at a car dealer and you're in some negotiation. With Corey, it's right to the bottom line. You'll enjoy your car buying experience. You'll enjoy your new Ford. The service after the sale is excellent, and we'll make it even better. Tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford, 662-257-1900. Now let's go to Neil Stratton of Inside the League. The NFL playoffs begin on Saturday. We'll start talking about it now on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. All right, Neil, Happy New Year to you. Hope you had a great holiday season. Appreciate you being here. It is time for NFL playoffs, which the NFL season, you probably will disagree with this. Sometimes the NFL season to me feels like it drags about 2 to 3 weeks too long. I don't know why. That's because I'm just conditioned to the college season more because that's what I do for a living. But anyway, I get to the playoffs and it's kind of exciting because it's like, all right, well, here we go. So we'll get that in a minute. First, I want to start with the Oakland / Las Vegas Raiders. And it certainly sounds like this John Gruden thing is real. What are your thoughts on it? Do you think how realistic is it? And in the event that it is realistic, what kind of an impact can John Gruden have after all of the years out of coaching?
Boy, isn't that a great question? I remember when Dick Vermeil was hired by the Rams, and I thought, you know, you guys, y'all just have to recycle somebody, don't you? And Vermeil was a marvelous success in St. Louis. Is John Gruden going to do the same thing? I don't know. It's a different game. A lot of different factors. I'm positive that he's coming back because he feels like he's got a very talented quarterback who hit rock bottom this year for some reason I don't fully understand, and I think a lot of people don't fully understand. So he's probably excited about that. I mean, there's that. He's got a pretty good offensive line there. He's got some tools. On defense, they're going to have to start over. But I'm a pretty big fan, become a pretty big fan of McKenzie as GM. And I think that it's all about the players on the field. You know, the Jimmys and the Joes, not the X's and the O's. I'm confident that they can rebuild that. I think Gruden is probably confident he can as well. I don't think he's been given personnel authority. I think McKenzie retains that. And if he does, I think he's got a fighting chance to be successful. But let me say this. It's funny to me how so many teams are constantly trying to bring in a sexy guy rather than a guy that may be the best fit for him. And Gruden may be the best fit, but he's got the sexy quotient is really high. And going into Las Vegas in a couple years and the glitz and glam associated with that, I think that's got a lot to do with this hire.
Yeah, it is most definitely sexy. But, you know, I was reading a story, I want to say it was in the Orange County Register. It was about kind of this is coming up on the one-year anniversary of Sean McVay's hiring by the Rams and how he blew them away in a dinner interview and then the next day, and then they didn't even let him get out of Los Angeles. They made the hire. He was 30 years old, you know, Froning, the owner, when he sat down, thought, why am I here? And by the end, he thought, why have we not hired him?
Right.
That's the NFL seems to be skewing that direction, yet Gruden's obviously, you know, in a different – it's I'm a roundabout way of just asking a funny question. Is there a model for success in today's NFL? Like, you see Cincinnati hang on to Marvin Lewis and Cleveland's going to hang on to Hugh Jackson and all this stuff. And yet the Rams go out and they hire this young guy who can relate to these young NFL players, and it works so well that you would anticipate it's a copycat league. They would go that direction with the Rams, but instead everyone seems to be going older.
Look at the media markets where these coaches are being hired. Sean McVay in Los Angeles, obviously. Gruden in Oakland, but going to Vegas. Look at who the Giants hired 2 years ago. They pushed out Tom Coughlin. They brought in Ben McAdoo, who really kind of limited experience-wise, but very young. These teams are in the major media markets. I don't think they're looking for young as much as they're looking for sexy. And Gruden is super sexy. I think McVay was sexy. Turns out to be an outstanding hire. I'm not trying to criticize them. The Giants maybe were looking for something that was a little bit new wave. Didn't work out for them as much. Jets don't necessarily fit that profile as much. Todd Bowles is a guy who really kind of did work his way up through the ranks more. But, you know, look in Chicago. They hired John Fox. It's a grizzled old veteran. They kind of recycled. You know, I think in the less sexy markets and the less bigger markets, I think there still is a chance that you're trying to bring in guys that are more seasoned and maybe climb up through the ranks. But I think in the places where you're looking to make a big splash and that spurs ticket sales, you're looking for someone who's exciting. I mean, that's the social media culture that we're in right now.
You mentioned the Giants. Do you get a sense of what direction they're going to go?
I really haven't. Haven't been focused on that as much. I've been really kind of monitoring the Green Bay situation a bit more. Now that the Giants have settled on a GM, I think it's more interesting to kind of see what direction they're going to go with their front office, because they've got to build out that roster a bit. They've sagged a little bit talent wise. I think we've talked about that on nearly every show we've been on for the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
But so they've got to kind of get the ship turned around that way. As far as a coach, I really don't have any insight right now.
You know, the Bears job is the one that's kind of interesting to me, because it looks like they have their quarterback. I like Trubisky. I think you can build around him. I thought given the season that they had, I thought he looked pretty good.
I think they've got their quarterback. I wouldn't have said that after the draft. I really kind of thought that was a reach, but I think Trubisky has some possibilities. I think they've got a rising young defense. They've got a nice running back there. They've got a lot of nice parts there. I think it is a good situation, and I'm not sure I was sold on Ryan Pace going into this year. I really thought he'd be on the unemployment line by now, but I think that there are some building blocks there. I think they've got some momentum, even though they finished last in the division. And I agree with you. I think that's a pretty attractive job for the right head coach.
Okay, that leads me into my next line of questioning, which is quarterback play. breaking news, the quarterback position is the most important one in football. You can't win without it. There's a lot of coaches that are good coaches that have gone to places they didn't have good quarterbacks and they got fired because you can't win without them. Josh, we're recording this on, what's today, Thursday? Last night, Josh Rosen and Sam Darnold, no shock, both declared for the NFL draft. Baker Mayfield just finished his college career at Oklahoma in that Rose Bowl game. Drew Locke, to my knowledge, has not made a decision yet at Missouri. Those four guys, kind of give me your thoughts on them as long-term NFL quarterbacks. How many of those guys, if any, can be the face of a franchise? How many of those guys can have the impact that Carson Wentz has had in Philly, that Jared Goff has had in Los Angeles, that Mitchell Trubisky, it appears, is going to have in Chicago?
Let's start with Locke. I thought Fitzgerald was going to be Locke this year. I thought Nick Fitzgerald at Mississippi State was a guy that's going to kind of creep up on everyone and come in and have big results and enter the draft and maybe the rising guy, especially as we get closer to May. That didn't work out. But now Drew Locke in Missouri had an outstanding season. He put up historic numbers in the SEC. And he may or may not come out. I don't have any insights on that right now. But he is a fascinating guy because he's got the big arm. He's made the long connections. But the thing about Locke that's going to work against him is right now, everyone's focused on accuracy. That's a big it's seen as a big indicator as we've become more statistics-driven and metrics-driven. And he doesn't have the accuracy that the other quarterbacks have. So it'll be interesting to see if a team is willing to kind of throw that out as a metric and believe in his big playability and the other factors that, you know, all the other boxes that he checks. He's an interesting player. I'm interested to learn more about him as we go forward. I really don't know a whole lot about him. On the other hand, I think every college fan in America has an opinion on Baker Mayfield at this point. We've all seen him in two major programs. He played on the national stage last Friday and had his ups and downs. I think Mayfield's a guy that going into the season, I really thought, man, if he has an outstanding season, he's a third rounder. If he has a lousy season, he's a sixth rounder. But we had, inside the league, we have former scouts that watch these games for us, former NFL scouts. And coming into midseason, the guys that have watched Mayfield were saying he's a first rounder for sure, which surprised me. I still think he is. I think he's probably bottom of the first round. But there are things about Mayfield that I think that are off the field kind of stuff that almost make him seem like a Manziel. He's not nearly that reckless. He's not nearly that kind of a personality. But he is a little out of control at times when it counts. And I think that's a negative for him. And I think he's going to have to address that over the next few months. I think you asked about Darnold and Rosen. Darnold is, he's the prototype coming out, with when it comes to measurements and throwing arm and all those things. But the number of turnovers in his last game are undeniable. And that's a concern as well as a concern for the year. And then Rosen also doesn't come without flaws. He's had a nice season, but really hasn't had the success at UCLA that you expect from a real true blue chip franchise kind of guy. And he's got a personality that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. So we've got a lot of drama coming over the next 3-4 months. And we haven't even talked about Josh Allen at Wyoming.
I was going to ask you about Allen in just a minute. So go ahead and include him in the group.
Well, Allen's interesting because I think there's a perception that scouts work homogeneously and they see the whole country equally and they get to see everything and all those kind of things. And that's not true. There are fewer scouts in the Northwest than there are, let's say, Atlanta or Houston or Dallas or Miami. So there's going to be more study that's going to need to be done by Allen, which means he has the potential to rise highest. There's still the possibility he's the number one pick in the draft. Big, big arm. He's got the size you're looking for if you're looking for a pocket passer. Not as much of a mobile guy, but I think that he's a guy, especially in a combine situation and a scripted pro day situation, no rushers, no decision-making, what have you, he's going to really come off well. How does he do on the board in combine? I don't know. Will he Will he make everyone, will he impress everyone based on, you know, the offense that he's run and all those kind of things? These are still questions to be answered, but the potential is there for him to be a real true riser in this draft.
See, that's where Darnold is interesting to me, because I think Darnold, I mean, that guy, when you put him out there on a field in a pro day setting, for example, a combine setting, where you put him in a pair of shorts and a jersey and let him get out and just make throws that are scripted, man, he's going to look really good.
I mean,
he's going to blow you away. I mean, because he looks the part, he can make the throws, all that stuff. He has velocity, all of those things. But yet you watch him in a game against good teams, this is going to sound hyperbolic, I'm not convinced that he really understands defenses.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure he can really read defenses. I don't think he makes quick decisions. I don't think he makes good decisions. And in the NFL, those are things that will not only get you beat, they'll get you killed. I mean, they'll get your franchise destroyed. Yet, you know, scouts and GMs and such are going to see him in Indianapolis and then again in Los Angeles at his pro day, and they are going to be drooling at the physical tools.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say that those are tools you can't teach. But the decision-making and the defense reading and breaking that kind of thing down and watching film, those are things you can teach. And that's where they're going to make that leap, and they're going to say, throw out all the things we did that we saw with our eyes, and let's trust our hearts and the metrics and all those kind of things. And I'm not saying they're right or wrong. There are players that have height, weight, speed every year that weren't such great college players that really turned into great NFL players. And that's kind of the fun of the draft, right? So I don't know, Neil. I mean, you could easily be right. We really won't know for 5 years.
Okay, so if I told you you're the GM, Neil Stratton, you're the GM of the fill-in-the-blank team. Now, let's do it this way. You're the GM of the New York Giants. You've got Eli Manning, but he's 37. Maybe he's got another year in the tank. Maybe he doesn't. You've got to draft a quarterback, and you're sitting here, what are they, third?
I thought they were two right now.
Okay, let's say they're the second team in the draft. You're second in the draft. You're going to get a quarterback. Who are you hoping is there? Who's the guy that you take in that spot? Maybe, and you can even do this with Cleveland if you want. You're Cleveland. You got the first pick in the draft. Who do you take? Who's the guy that you think has the highest upside? And who's the guy that you think is the biggest potential bust there?
Of the five guys we've discussed.
Of those five quarterbacks. And if there's another one in there that we haven't talked about that you want to put in, add him.
I think the guy with the highest upside is probably Allen. I think he's got the strongest arm, and I think that he's probably got I think he can come the farthest. I think he's the guy that they could see being someone who steps out of a second tier program and goes to the NFL with his kind of tools, and if he has the right kind of weapons, he could really be something special. I think the safe guy is probably Darnold, because, again, he's got tools. He came from a big-time program. Even though he's got his spots, he's come through pretty well, universally admired, all those kind of things. Rosen is a bit of a wild card because I think, you know, number one, he said that he only wants to play in New York. Will he come off of that? We don't know for sure. I mean, I was told early on that not only was he not going to throw at the combine, and not only was he not going to throw at his pro day, he was going to work out for one team and one team only, and that's the Giants. Now, that's something that gets massaged out of you by your agent, and that's a kind of thing that, you know, where you kind of change your mind, but it gives you some insight into where he wants to play. Mayfield, again, I'm not sure. I don't think people fall in love with him in a pro day scripted workout kind of setting the way they do with Allen and Darnold and Rosen. And then the Missouri quarterback, Drew Lock, I think he's probably a real wild card. He could slip into the first round only because there's so much inflation when it comes to quarterbacks, and they can make such an impact on your program. On the other hand, you might draft a guy like the Broncos took a couple years ago, whose name I can't remember right now. They kind of took him, I think maybe on a lark a little bit. They've had a glaring hole at quarterback for...
Talking about Paxton Lynch?
Paxton Lynch. They've had a glaring hole at quarterback. I don't know if I want to say it, go that far, but they've had a weakness at quarterback for 3 years now. He hasn't been able to solve that. He hasn't been able to stay on the field. Was he the answer? I think they took him and hoped for the best, and it didn't turn out that way.
We take a break from our talk with Neil Stratton of Inside the League to tell you that the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden is brought to you by Community Mortgage. It's located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. 30 years old this year. It's one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. It's the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. Ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you can get the lower rate. Email JLowe, that's JLOWE, at communitymtg.com. The podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you are a business with a high-ticket product or service, HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they will get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown at 443-935-5013. Ben is waiving the setup fee for Oxford Crystal Beer Garden listeners. That's a $500 savings. So call him today. It's also brought to you by SPM. SPM is Strategic Partners in Media. It's a full-service advertising agency that works with businesses of all types, big or small, Fortune 500 companies to startups. SPM can help your advertising needs for TV, radio, print, and every facet of social and digital media. Look, here's why SPM is really good and different than other ad firms. They handle everything in-house. They don't sub their work out. The writing, the production, the editing, it's all done solely by their staff and created uniquely for their clients. Lastly, an Ole Miss grad and a Mississippian is a partner in the firm, so give them a call and see how great they are. Email Austin at strategicpartnersmedia.com. We're also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American Standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast. You get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. Last but not least, we're brought to you by LB's Meat Market, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford. Give Greg Jones a call, 662-259-2999. Let him know what you want. He'll have it all ready for you. If you don't know what you want, or if you're like me and you love just to walk into the store and shop, that's even better. They've got all the fresh cuts. It's the freshest cuts in Oxford. You got to try the bone-in ribeye. They've got the beef, the prime, and upper choice USDA grade beef, exclusive grass-fed naked beef from Joyce Farms. They have the free-range Joyce Farm chicken breast. It's packed individually and seasoned. You can get half or whole chickens. They've got the pork that's locally raised pork from home place pastures in Como. Fresh seafood from the Gulf of Mexico. It's all there at LB's. You got to try their sausages. I love the chicken sausages. You might love the pork sausage, the beef sausage. They've got the fresh ribeye sausage, which is fantastic. The spicy bacon. They've got smoked sausages as well. All of that at LB's, 662-259-2999. When you go in, there's a beer fridge on your left. Check it out. Grab a six-pack. Normally $8. If you tell Greg and the people at LB's that you heard about LB's on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden, It's just $6. So you save a couple bucks on a great six pack from LB's Meat Market in Oxford, right across from Kroger, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford. Now back to our conversation with Neil Stratton of Inside the League here on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Does Carson Wentz's success at Philly, does that help Josh Allen, meaning that, you know, he played at North Dakota State or whatever, and no one had heard of him? I mean, obviously didn't play in the SEC or the Pac-12 or the Big 12 or the, you know, didn't play in a Power 5 league. Does that help Allen in terms of comps?
I've heard that. I don't know if it's necessarily on point or not. I mean, but you would make that logical assumption. But you know, at the end of the day, they're different. They're different quarterbacks. I think Wentz is a little bit more mobile. I think Arnold. I think Allen probably has a little bigger arm. But I think it's natural to think that there are those similarities, and it's natural to draw those comparisons. And scouts and evaluators are human, after all.
All right, the playoffs get started on Saturday. Two games Saturday, two games Sunday. The next weekend is, in my opinion, the best weekend of the entire NFL season. So hopefully maybe we can get you back on next week to preview the divisional playoff games, because those are awesome. But let's start with the wild card games, which sometimes are awfully interesting. Tennessee at Kansas City, the early game on Saturday, 3:20 on Saturday afternoon. I'm in the Titans viewership area. I see the Titans a lot. It's not the team that I would choose to watch, because sometimes they're kind of boring to watch. But Marcus Mariota's kind of, they built around him, and here they are in the playoffs. They're playing a Kansas City team that has been sort of up and down. What are your thoughts on that game Saturday?
Well, the Chiefs, as everyone knows, didn't play their best football in the second half of the season and have had a bit of an inconsistent offense, especially over the last five or six games. But I still think they're going to smash the Titans. The Titans are 1-3 going in their last four games, and they had an opportunity to really make a statement over the second half of the season and really kind of prove that they belong in the playoffs. And they had all these games that looked winnable, and they really performed pretty poorly in them. And I think Marcus Mariota is still a player who's got a lot going for him, and his best football is ahead of him. But I don't think he's played the way a lot of people expected him to. Their running game is going to be fine because they've got Derrick Henry. But I don't know that this is a team that's hitting on all cylinders. And while the Chiefs are not playing super either, I think they're playing well enough to win, especially at home. And so I expect the Chiefs to win somewhat handily. And who knows, this may be Mike Mularkey's last game there too.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, absolutely. If that's an attractive job if it opens up.
Yeah, it is. But you don't hear of playoff teams that are looking to maybe move their coach. You know, but it does happen sometimes in this media situation.
Real quick aside, speaking of the AFC South, what happens with Andrew Luck in your opinion? Andrew Luck and the Colts this offseason? Do the Colts have to move on from that, or do they feel confident that he can restore his career?
You know, they've been so shady and so reluctant to release information. I don't know if anyone really knows what's up with Andrew Luck's shoulder. I have to think he comes back and plays well, and I think they give him the benefit of the doubt. The difficulty is that new head coach that comes in has got to deal with that uncertainty. And I don't know what Jim Irsay was saying internally within the team, and I don't know what the expectation was. But publicly, he was telling people, even at midseason, he'll be back in a couple weeks. Did they not have any handle whatsoever on this, or was it strictly ticket sales? I don't know. That scares me. I'm a big fan of Chris Ballard, their new, second-year GM now. And I think he's going to right that team eventually, but that's a huge question mark. And I think anyone in a reasonable position would have to wonder if what they have. I don't know if anyone knows what they have right now.
Yeah, and if you're doing that for ticket sales reasons, that's really misleading your fan base.
Yeah, I mean, fan bases tend to be pretty resilient, but yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard of a quarterback going to the Netherlands in season to try to rectify his arm problems. It's a new day and a new age, but that seems really strange to me to just take completely leave the team and go somewhere off and try something that sounds pretty desperate to me.
When he was good, the Colts looked like they were an up-and-coming franchise. Now, with him hurt, they're in the dregs. It's weird. It just shows you the absolute importance of that position. All right, speaking of an NFC wild card game on Saturday, two really good quarterbacks, Jared Goff, Matt Ryan, the Falcons coming off a season which they almost won the Super Bowl. The Rams are one of the real young, exciting teams in football. Games out in Los Angeles. It's at 7:15 Central Time. You can see it on NBC. It's an attractive playoff game. I'm looking forward to watching it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the Falcons finished 3-1 over the last four games. I think that matters. I think they've got – maybe they're kind of finally starting to get all their ducks in a row offensively. Steve Sarkisian hasn't had the best year there as their OC. But I'll tell you, Neil, I'm a big fan of Wade Phillips. I've always been impressed by his defenses. I've never hated him as much as a head coach as a lot of people have. And he has a way of finding your weakness and really working it against you. And I just feel like I've heard a lot of people across the nation giving the Falcons a real chance in this game. But I think the Rams win this one going away. I mean, I think the defense is better. They've got the running game. I mean, Ty Gurley's on fire right now. I'd be real surprised if the Rams didn't win this.
Really? That's fascinating because the Falcons are kind of everybody's hot pick. They like you said, they finished the season well. They're experienced. The Rams have just been so good on that defensive side of the ball that, again, it's a fun game. The NFC playoffs, we'll touch on it in a minute. The whole NFC playoffs are incredible because it could go in any number of directions. All right, let's get to the Sunday games. A fun game because Buffalo is such a fun story. Everybody enjoyed watching, seeing Buffalo make the playoffs, their reaction to getting into the playoffs. They go to Jacksonville. Jacksonville hosting a playoff game for the first time in ages. The game's on CBS Sunday at noon. I guess there's a question about LeSean McCoy, how healthy he'll be or whether he'll be able to go. Just your thoughts on Buffalo at Jacksonville.
Well, I think that Buffalo definitely has momentum here. I mean, the Jags lost their last two games. But, again, I see this as a decisive Jacksonville victory, despite the fact that the Bills are the team that's got a little bit more of a head of steam. I think the Jags are built to beat the Bills. Once the Bills moved Marcell Dareus, they didn't have a whole lot in the middle to stop the run. That's all the Jags are going to do. I mean, they're going to pound Leonard Fournette, and I realize – Fournette's kind of had some broken wheels over the second half of the season and maybe had a much more impressive first half than he did second half. But at the same time, I think he's got enough left in the tank to be what the Jaguars need him to be. And that's a chain mover and a guy they can rely on first and second down. And I think I'm no big fan of Blake Bortles, but I think he can do enough things to keep a ship righted. So I see the Jags winning this one pretty easily.
And then the fourth game of the wild card weekend, Carolina, the Panthers go to New Orleans to play the Saints. Game kicks at 3:40 Central. You can see it on Fox. The Saints trying to beat Carolina for the third straight time in a season, which on the surface can be very difficult. But if Cam Newton is the same Cam Newton that showed up for the season finale, this is going to be easy for the Saints.
Not only that, he's pretty much been that guy all season, Neil. I mean, I see this as a real step back kind of season for Newton. He just doesn't have that accuracy. He still makes decisions that I question. And the Saints are not a team that are playing. I mean, they're not the same team they were when they were winning eight straight games. Their offensive line has been a bit less consistent in the running game. Their defense has had a few breakdowns. They're not just totally rolling like they were. But I still think they win because I just don't think Cam Newton, I don't think he beats the Saints. I think they've been very successful against him. I think they continue to be. Now, the Panthers have great linebackers, and Thomas Davis is back, and he's going to make a difference. But I still think the Saints eke this one out. I think it's going to be a very close game. I think it's going to be a nail biter until the end. But I'm going to give it to New Orleans because they're home.
Yeah, I agree with you on that completely. All right, I want to look at the divisional playoff round. We don't know the matchup, so we can't preview games. But I'm going to ask you about some of these teams a little bit. Your thoughts on where they are, two wins away from the Super Bowl. Philadelphia had a great season, yet they go into the playoffs and there's no Carson Wentz. How much does that change them as a playoff team?
I think that the team that plays them's got to be excited. I was not necessarily on the Wentz bandwagon as much until he got hurt. And seeing how different the Eagles are without him is dramatic. And I realized that Foles had a nice week the week immediately after he got hurt against the Giants. But I still think this team is badly damaged. And they do have a nice run game, and they've got a nice defense. But I think ultimately without Wentz, they're in trouble. I don't think they're a team that can stay in the playoffs for a long time, and they'll have to prove otherwise to me. I think the Vikings are the team with all the energy in the NFC right now. I think they're the team to beat in the conference. I mean, that's no surprise. I guess anyone would pretty much predict that given the way they've played. But, I mean, they really have got everything rolling on offense and defense. They've got all pros up and down the lineup. They're a strong team, and I'm not necessarily sold on Keenum as much, but – so far, so good. Unless the defense can really craft a strategy to be able to kind of take away the long or force him to throw deep and try to take away the short game, as a lot of teams have tried to do, then the Vikings should be hard to beat.
If you're Minnesota, who do you want in that first game on the 14th of January?
I think you probably want the one that emerges from the Panthers-Saints, only because they came – these are two teams that have been struggling all season just to win a freaking division title. And I think it's taken a toll on all three teams in the NFC South. So I think you want to take one of those teams because they're going to have a little bit less steam.
They don't want the Rams. They want to avoid the Rams, right, because of that Rams defense?
Yeah, I think the Rams are – I think the Rams are a tough team. I think they're a real dark horse in the playoffs. I think if the Vikings don't win, I think it's the Rams.
The only thing about Minnesota, and this isn't fair, I think it's just making a sweeping assertion, is it's Case Keenum.
Yeah.
And he's had a really good year. I just keep waiting for it to end. He's not a sexy quarterback. He's not a name brand, if you will. You're going to buy peanut butter, and you're not buying Jif, and you're not buying Skippy. You're buying like some off brand, and people are telling you, hey, it's just as good, but you're like, yeah, but it's not Jif.
You're right. And he's put up pinball numbers, and they've been very successful, but he doesn't have that pedigree. And I think until he shows that in the playoffs, people are always going to doubt him. But so far it's worked for him, and they've played to his strengths, and they've been able to take advantage of the weapons they do have. And so far, so good. Mike Zimmer's another guy who's really showed me a lot this year, kind of like Carson Wentz. I mean, a lot of people have always kind of lauded his ability to keep the team together, and I always kind of laughed it off. But I think he is a pretty solid coach and has done a solid job in Minnesota this year.
I'm going to get to the Patriots as a playoff team in a second. I want to touch this real quick because I'm curious. Why did New England feel compelled to trade Jimmy Garoppolo when they did, and all they get is a second-round pick, and he goes to San Francisco, and, man, you talk about a guy who looks the part.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why the Patriots make a lot of the trades they've made over the past few years. I mean, they've traded linebackers, they've traded defensive ends that were still talented players that were on the way up, and yet they do it. And, I mean, it kind of goes back to the quarterback situation because they've got Tom Brady. Everything seems to work out for him. I don't know why he traded Garoppolo. Obviously, Bill Belichick still feels that Brady has plenty left in the tank, and he probably does. But I think if he waits until after the season, he probably gets a lot more. I think there are a lot of people that are a little puzzled by the decision, but it sure has worked out for the 49ers.
Do you put any stock at all into the rumor that Belichick is unhappy about it and that it could lead to his exodus from New England?
These things always happen when you least expect it. I would be incredibly surprised. You don't find the kind of success that the Patriots have found over the last 10 years very often. I'd be completely taken off guard if there are any changes made there.
Are they the team to beat in the AFC playoffs, period?
No, I don't think so.
I think
the Steelers have the inside track here. I think the Patriots have some weaknesses on the offensive line. I think their defense can be beaten. I think that they are a team that don't want to say they're ripe for the picking, but I think they've got weaknesses that can be exposed.
All right, that leads me to Pittsburgh, which is kind of the team that they lost that crazy game against the Patriots with the catch, no catch thing. They bounced back from it quickly. I think that game, even though they lost, it was a confidence builder for them in a playoff setting. They now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if they play the Patriots in the playoffs, they can win.
Totally agree. Totally agree. They went toe-to-toe with the Patriots, and except for that fluky thing, might have beaten them. And that means a lot, especially, you know, and that wasn't in week one. That was recently. So I think that's still fresh in their minds. It's got to be give them confidence. And for whatever reason, this James Harrison thing seems to inspire them as well. They've really has kind of become a big deal, and it seems to have galvanized their locker room. And maybe that's what they need if they get to the AFC Championship game against them.
Well, my man, as always, it's a lot of fun. I appreciate it. We'll, if you have a few minutes next week, I'd love to preview the divisional playoff games with you, kind of get your thoughts as the playoffs get real next weekend.
Sure. Well, I'll be reporting from somewhere, probably not here in my Houston home base, but we'll try to make it work, Neil. I appreciate you having me on, as always. It's always fun.
All right, Neil Stratton of Inside the League. Thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Our thanks to Neil Stratton for his time today on the podcast. We'll be back with you early next week. That's the plan. I'm traveling late next week, so we'll try to get it in early next week. Another Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. We'll preview the NFL divisional playoffs. We'll try to talk some NBA, perhaps. I'm going to work on a couple of NBA guests, working on Major League Baseball guests, the Major League Baseball free agency, going really slow, but some stuff starting to happen. It'll happen soon. Jake Arrieta, Yu Darvish, Alex Cobb, whether Josh Donaldson gets traded, the Manny Machado rumors. There's a lot there with baseball, so we'll try to touch on those topics and more here on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Until then, take care. Have a great weekend.